We ended off last time with the Rama and Siftes Vav, who records the minhag of the mako for reheating a davar lach if it's lo nitztanein legamri. So it's not really clear from Simon Shin Yud Ches what the Rama is based on. There's no comment in the Darkei Moshe there that corresponds to this minhag. And the Rama is just Mitzayin Simon Reish Nun Gimel, but it's not fully clear what the reference to Simon Reish Nun Gimel is as far as deconstructing this Shita of the Rama. So there are a number of possibilities as to where the Rama falls, and we'll try to outline that as we go. So the Svarim quote, Magen Avraham in Simon Reish Nun Gimel, Sif Katan Lamed Zayin, Reish Nun Gimel Sif Katan Lamed Zayin. So the Rama there in the end of Simon Reish Nun Gimel. Let's just read the Mechaber first, just for context. The Mechaber writes Reish Nun Gimel. Hey, Moter Lases Al Pikaderas Chamin B'Shabes Tavshish and Espasha Me'er Shabes Kol Tzarcho. So if you have a kedera that's on the flame on Shabbos, and you're putting on top of that a tafshil that was already fully cooked before Shabbos, kagon panidish, a kind of a kugel, so that's not a violation of hachzara, because that's not derech bishul to cook something by putting it on top of another kedera. Says the Rama, the Yesh Matirin Litain Litoch Tanur Sha'afuba Mibayom, Deme Acha Shalom Hitmina Barak, Afuba Mibayom, Lanisha Barak, Hevel Ma'at. So if you have a tanur in which you cooked on Erev Shabbos, you're going to put something in that tanur, which still has residual heat, that's okay. Vein Lach is the Bishop of Ashalon of Sinon Lagamri. The Yesh Machmir Mbazat. Fine, but if the heat's yatzaledes, but that's the problem. So this is all regarding hachzara. Says the Rama now, v'chal advarim she'asir lasas midvarim elu asir lomer lagoy lasas. So any form of reheating that's going to be asir on Shabbos because of a problem of hachzara is also asir idei amir l'nachri. L'chein asir lomer lagoy l'hachim makadera in this dining. So if you have a pot that cooled off, you're not allowed to tell a nachri to reheat it on Shabbos. And then you're not allowed to eat it if the nachri did it in violation of the iser of amir l'nachri. So on that comment of the Rama, the Magen Avraham writes in Sifkat and Lamed Zayin, l'hachim makadera, k'beis yosi b'shem arashba, asir lomer la'akov l'halik eish l'chaim makadera. You're not allowed to tell a nachri to light a flame Tidav Kadera Shabbos, Dila Lahache Makadera, Svile La Rashbada Fil Yisrael, Shari La Salso. Because just putting something on an existing flame, according to the Rashba, that would be Mutter anyway, if you're not putting it Al Gabi Ha'esh Mamish, because Ein Bishal Achar Bishal, Kemish Ein Anosnal Gabi Esh Akira Mamish, Ramah Kasastam Asir Lamal Akam Lahachem, Disrile Dilili Dan, this fear laid the asul chamamo mid araisa. But the Rama says over here that you're not allowed to tell a nachri to heat it up on Shabbos, period. Sounds like even to put it on an existing flame, because Rama holds that since we hold asul chamamo mid araisa, since we hold you're not allowed to reheat something min haTorah asul lomer gamkin la'akum. So the Rama holds Yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. We're talking about an iser Torah. So if there's an iser Torah, then you can't tell the nachri to do it either. So here the Magen Avraham explaining the Rama, that the Rama asers even telling a nachri to put a tafshil that was nitztanein over a existing flame is aser. That's because Rama holds that Yesh Bishal Acher Bishal B'davar Lach. Okay, so Magen Avraham understands that Rama holds Me'ikar Adin Yesh Bishal Acher Bishal B'davar Lach. So how do we understand Shin Yud Ches Siftes Vav that if it's lo nistan in legamri, the minhag is to allow it. So it must be the Ramah's holding or presenting that minhag as a relative kula. That even though yesh bishalach or bishal v'davar lach, if it's nistan in legamri, but if it's lo nistan in legamri, then you could be makel to put something near a flame, even if it's a davar lach. And that seems to be the simple reading of the Trumas HaDeshen, which is the source for the continuation of the Ramah there in Reish Nun Gimel. The Ramah goes on to say, Amnam, im lo nitztainin kol kach shedayin ruyim lechol. So if you have food that's not totally cooled off, im chamim osan hagayim mutarim lechol. If a nachri heats it up, you're allowed to eat it. L'chei no'agim, shagayim motziyim akadeiris min ha-tanurim shemaminim behem. So the nachrim would take out kadeiros from the ovens. They put it next to the radiator, next to the heater. So there's a heter, since Amir Lenachri is mutter for purposes of creating heat in a house, that's called Hakol Cholim Eitzel Hatsina, so you're allowed to ask a Nachri to turn on the heat if it's cold and uncomfortable. So they had the following system where you'd have a Nachri take out a pot, put it near the heater, then he's going to turn on the heater because he likes to turn on the heater because it's called Cholim Eitzel Hatsina, and then Nela, the food would get heated up. That's based on a Trumas HaDeshen. So in the Trumas HaDeshen himself there, Simin Samech Vav. The Trumas HaDeshen has a line that Benidon Didan, Kevan de Yodea da Shifcham of the Eres Es HaTanur. So the Trumas HaDeshen is saying the heter is only to put the skedera near the heat and then turn on the heat for heat purposes. And then mamela, the kedera is going to be heated up. But if you're going to put it on once you're ready, turned on the heat, that's going to be usher. And the Trumas HaDeshen says that there, that's kenosin abanas levashlo. That's like putting it there for the express purpose of cooking it. The amalacha yikmo hosa, and putting it on the heater abanas levashlo. That's an av malacha kmo hosa. So the nidon here is about a davar lach, about chanin davar lach, and the Trumas HaDeshen says in this situation, if you're going to put it abanas levashlo, that's an av malacha kama hotzah. So we're talking about something that had already been cooked, cooled off. Now you're reheating it. He calls that an av malacha kama hotzah. It sounds like we're talking about a malacha daraisa, that yesh bishal achar bishal bidavar lach she nitztane. Rabbi Willie pointed out that maybe you could be dochik in the Trumas HaDeshen, that av malacha doesn't mean av malacha mamish. Maybe it means malacha, but could even be a malacha derabanan. After all, the comparison that the Trumas HaDeshen draws is to Hotzah, Av Malacha Hi Kama Hotzah. And the Trumas HaDeshen earlier in the piece invokes Hotzah here in the following parallel case. He quotes in the Mordechai that you're not allowed to put food in a chatzer for a Nachri to take if your intention is, and you know that the Nachri is going to be Motzi, Mirshus L'Rishus. That's a parallel case where you can't create a situation of Amir Lenachri in doing a malacha on your behalf. So there, the case is you're putting food in a chatzer and you know the Nachri is going to transfer the chatzer mershus rishus. The Mordechai holds that in order to have rishus harabim, d'oraisa you need to have shishim riba. So nowadays, in the period of the Rishonim, there's no Shishim Ribu anywhere. So according to the Mordechai, what's thought anyway could only be a Malacha de Rabbanan, and yet he says it's usher to put mizonos in front of a nachri. In that case, we know it's going to violate hotzad de rabbanan, and that's a comparison here that the Trumas Hadeshin makes that it's av malacha kamotza. So maybe that hotzad de rabbanan. So maybe av malacha yirzadaka means bishul de rabbanan also. But that's not the pashtus. The pashtus is that the Trumas Hadeshin means that yesh bishul acher bishul min haTorah b'davar lach at least. Shenitzan and Lagamri. And then we have to assume that the Raman Siftesvav is presenting a kula that even though Yesh Bishal Achavishal Bidavar Lach Mekar Adin, but the Minig is to be Mekal if it's not Nistanein Lagamri. Okay. In the other direction, the Minchas Kohen Shar Beis Perek Beis, Mishmar Sashabbos Shar Beis Perek Beis. He assumes in the Ramah the opposite direction, that Me'ikir Hadin, Ein Bishal Acher Bishal B'davar Lach. And the Ramah is presenting a Chumrah, that even though Ein Bishal Acher Bishal B'davar Lach, and in theory, even if it's Nistan and Lagamri, you should be able to reheat it. Nevertheless, the Minag is only to allow reheating it where it's low Nistan Ein Lagamri. That's how the Chazon Ish understands. Chazon Ish in Simen, Lamed Zayin, Sif Yud Gimel. And the Chazon Ish presents this as a chumrah not to be makel about chimum. Me'ikar adin, ein bishul acher bishul b'davar lach. So me'ikar adin, even if it's in stein legamri, you can reheat it. And the Ramah says, the minig is to be machmir, lest you come to be makel about bishul in general. So if it's in stein legamri, we tell you, you're not allowed to reheat it, even though min haTorah, me'ikar adin, there's no objection. And In the Mor HaShabbos, the way he presents it, he thinks that there's no clear indication in the Mishnah Berurah, if the Mishnah Berurah takes a stance on how we view the Ramah. But Rabbi Willi pointed out, he thought the Mashmos of Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Sadi Tess is like this Minchas Kohen. Mishnah Berurah Sivkat and Sadi Tess writes, on this Ramah of Elonis Stein and Lagamri, after Ladas Hamachaber, Kevin Shinistani Ma'at Mechami Musav, Eni Yatzel Edes Boshuv, Yesh Bamishav Bishol. According to Mechaber, it's clear that Yesh Bishol Achav Bishol B'davar Lach, even if it's a little bit cooler than Yatzel Edes Bo, Haminag Lahakal Bazeh, Disomchin Bazeh, Yesh Makilin, Kolzman Shalo Nitztanein Lagamri. The minhag to be makel that we're somech on the yesh makilim means ein bishul acher bishul b'davar lach, both manchel and istanein legamri. Right, so it sounds like Mishnah Berurah is framing the Ramah and saying the Ramah holds me'ikar adin. We assume ein bishul acher bishul b'davar lach, unless it's istanein legamri, then we're machmir. That's where Moshe assumes as well in Tshuva Tesvav to Rabbi Eider in the back of Rabbi Eider's Safer. Okay, so again, Magen Avraham seems to assume that according to the Ramah, the Ikar Adin, Yesh Bishul Acher Bishul Davar Lach, and we're Makel if it's Lone Sinai Lagamri, according to Minchas Kohen and the Chazon Ish, and maybe the Mishnah Berurah and Ramosha, Ein Bishul Acher Bishul Davar Lach, but we're Machmir not to be Makel about Chimum, we're Machmir if it is yes, Nitzayin Lagamri. The Mor HaShabbos suggests that maybe the source for the Ramah and maybe the sheet of the Ramah is in the middle, not like either presentation we made so far. And that's based on an Or Zeruah that he quotes in the Darkei Moshe, Simen Reish Nun Gimel, Os Zayin. Right there, the end of Simen Reish Nun Gimel, which is the halacha we were just looking at a few moments ago. So there, the Darkei Moshe quotes the following from the Or HaZeruah. Since we're on Zoom, we can take advantage of share screen again. So let's take a look at that dark emotion inside. Or HaZeruah, Kasav, Re'isi B'meis Morai, Sirlion, Marie Sirlion, Shapa'amim miskararim hashalin shalahem, that sometimes the chalent would cool off. I believe this may be the earliest reference in Rishonim to the term chalent, but the Ortharua has here that sometimes the chalent would cool off on Shabbos. U'b'Shabbos kodem ha'ochel madlikin ha'avadim eish samuch l'kaderos, and you'd have the non-Jewish help light a flame near the pot, kadesh yischamu b'tov, so that it would heat up. Some would move the pot and put it closer to the fire lit by the Nachri. Umifarshim lahatir, nimne she'ein lachush la'osran, dimistama chamin hein kitsas, karav layatzal edispa. So the reason that you could allow this practice of having the Nachri light a flame near the chalent and heating the chalent up near this flame is because anyway, the chalent was just a little bit below Yatzel Edispo. Ukisha Mosif and Lehem Chom Mutter Shaharei Gambishel Ein Behen. And if you're adding heat, that's Mutter because there's no new Bishel going on here. Afilu Yiskaru Harbe. And even if in practice it got cooler than just below Yatzel Edispo, Ein La'osran, then you don't have to aser the cholent, Shtagam Kavanasan Ba'avuran Hein. Because the reason that the Nachrim were heating it up was because they wanted to eat the cholent. Da'afilu Miskavnin Ba'avur Yisrael Ein Lachush, and even if their Kavana was for the Nachri, not such a problem. The Mistama Eina Yisrael wrote to Bekach. Yisrael doesn't want the Nachri to heat it up in a way that's going to aser it. Shili Yadu Shak Davis is Kara Lagamri, Lo Yamanichim Lachama Meim Asan, Klau. Keshavan Mosin, Lav Kol Kaminayu, Lesser Lanu, Hatashil, Bal Karchenu. So, number one, so the presentation of Zerua is if it's only a little bit below Yatzel Edispo, that's okay. That's not a problem of Bishel Acher Bishel. And even if it cools off more, it's not going to ask you the Tashil B'diavad for us, meaning if it cools off more, L'chachila, you couldn't tell the Nachri to do it. But if he did it, number one, he's doing it Adas Atmo because he wants to eat the Chalant, lest you think that Chalant is just the Jewish food. And number two, Lav Kol Kamine to Aser, because if we knew that it really cooled off that far, we wouldn't have let the Nachri heat it up, because then we wouldn't be able to eat the Chalent at all. That reminds me of a story that someone told me that when Joe Lieberman was running for vice president, his security detail expired however many days after the election, which was only decided like 50 days after election day. That happened to coincide with Shabbos morning. So he was in Shul, and the security detail was supposed to end at whatever time in the middle of davening, and the Secret Service stayed till the end of davening. So they asked the Secret Service, why didn't you leave already? They said, we wanted to stay for the Kiddush. So that's a riot to the Yosarua that even Nachrim like Chalitz. So says the Mora Shabbos, you see from this Or Zarua, that maybe this is part of the definition of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel B'davar Lach. That Or Zarua is saying, yeah, Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel B'davar Lach, but the trigger for when there's a problem Bishel Achar Bishel isn't at Yatzel Edispo. It's a little bit below Yatzel Edispo. But Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel, but the trigger is below Yatzel Edispo. The Sez Mora Shabbos, okay, that's a little bit below Yatzel Edispo, which is what the Rezeru is talking about, but that's not the same as Niftane in Lagamri. So to that, he says, there's a Shita L'Ran. Shita L'Ran, Daf Mem Amud Beis. The Achshav L'manus Chus L'hatir Masha Nagu Achshav Litein Mayim Chamin L'so chachamin b'shabbos, achar shekvar huchmu, b'chdei sheyatzel edes behen, shebo l'chal bishol. So the minhag was that you would return or restore mayim chamin into hot water on Shabbos after it's already heated up, even though the water now that you're putting back in the mayim chamin to reheat is not so hot, since they're not cold, the mishum bishalaka. So as long as it's not cold, there's no further bishal. So the Mora Shabbos says from the Orz Arura, you only see that the threshold for bishalaka bishal is a little bit below Yatzel Edispa. From the Chidush, the Shita L'Ran, you see that's even less than a little bit below Yatzel Edispa, as long as it's not sone. So he thinks maybe that's the basis of the Rama, that Me'ikar Adin, not just the Me'ikar Adin, Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, but it's only where it's Nistan and Lagamri. So the trigger is only if it's Nistan and Lagamri. Now that's a little bit difficult because the Rama didn't have the Shita L'Ran. So to say that the Rama's Shita is based on an Orz Arura Shita L'Ran, and he didn't have the Shita L'Ran, and the Orz Arura doesn't say it, seems a little bit creative. But you don't have to go that far as explaining the Rama on the base of the Shita L'Ran. Just go back to the Orz Arura. And that's, I think, how Rabbi Willig was noted to understand the Rama, that according to the Orz Arura, Me'ikar Adin, Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Lach, Min HaTorah, but if it's Karav Li'atzel Edispo, then that's not considered to be Nistanein, then that is still not Bechlal Bishal Achar Bishal. The Rama says, Lo Nistanein Lagamri. The Lo Nistanein Lagamri doesn't sound like a little bit below Yatzel Edispo. Rabbi Willig thought maybe that's a little ladafka in the Rama, that lo nistan legamri really means a little bit below Yatzel Edispo, which is lashon in the Orz Arura that the Rama quotes in Siman Reish Nun Gimel. And then the reference to Reish Nun Gimel makes a little bit more sense, that there the Rama does quote an Orz Arura, and if that is the source for this din, so the reference to Reish Nun Gimel fits a little bit better. Okay. Rabbi Karp thinks that the Rama here is based on a totally different cheshbon, and he points out that the Chai Adam in the Nishmas Adam makes a presentation along the lines of the direction Rabbi Karp thought was Shana the Rama. Nishmas Adam Klal Kaf Osches. Harama kasav denagul hakel lismoch etzal amedura imlo nistain in lagamri umiloshen zev vade mashma denagul kedas the rashba la midu afilu shetia yatzal edispo. Does mashma like the rashba that ein bishal acher bishal the davar lach? It's aruchim the bedarkei moshe lakas mizaklam. The bedarkei moshe doesn't explain anything as we just noted. The other aruchim. The Lamalu Agira Mabisif Dalit. If there must coming to tell you that he holds like the Rashba that Yesh Bishal, that Ein Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Lach against the Mechaber, then he should have told you that in Sif Dalit. So why does he wait till Sif Tesvav to present this Minuk? So says the Chayadam, the Efshar, the Kavanas Rama, the Afal Gav, the Nistain and Lagamri. Ein bo mishem bishol, v'afilu hachi aser l'hamin neged amedura sheyeh yatzel edispo. That even though, if it's nistan legamri, there is no violation of bishol. Da tam de mutter, da avi kismicha, de lo gazvin Hashem yechate. So you're still not allowed to, even if you hold that Me'ikar Adin, if it's Stein and Legamri, Ein Bo Mishum Bishal Achar Bishal, still, you can't place the pot opposite the Medura if it's going to reach Yatzel Edispo. Da Tam De Mutter, Da Vikis Micha, the logas bin Hashem Echad, it's only going to be mutter if it's far enough away from the flame that there's no Shema Yechata. Aval betchila, right? And that even there, it's only mutter bachzara. You can't put it there betchila from the get-go. The Mexican about Slavasha lechachila. Could the Easter assimilation of Gimel? Belachain came into a dying Cham Ksas, Havalei Kechazara. So if it's still a little bit hot and you're putting it near the flame, so that's like Chazara, that will be Mutter, Bitanai Chazara. Ava Benistain and Legamri, Virotev, Mexican Tchilas Bishel. But if it's a Stein and Legamri and it's a Dabralach, that looks like Tchilas Bishel. So the reason that you can't reheat it if it is Nistain Lagami is not because of Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel, because the Rama assumes that in principle, Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, even B'davar Lach. And the only reason that we're Machri if it's Nistain Lagami is because that's a problem of Mexica Bishel. That's a Hachzara-like problem, not a Bishel-like problem. And that's why the Rama only makes his comment in Sif Tesvav and not in Sif Gimel, because the context of Sif Tesvav is that Hafzara application, that you're allowed, the Mechaber says, you're allowed to place a Dabar Yavesh Keneged Amadura, and the Rama says you can even put a Dabar Lach Keneged Amadura, and that's not a violation of Hafzara, as long as it's not Nistanein Lagamri. But the Ramah's minhag here is not reflective of a shita regarding Bishel. It's a problem of Hachzara. So if it's the Stein Legamri, that's a violation of Hachzara to put it Keneged HaMedua. So again, according to the Magen Avraham, the Ramah assumes that Me'ikar Adin, Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel Badavar Lach Min HaTorah. And just here's a kula if it's Lonit Stein Legamri. According to Minchas Kohen, Chazanish, Ramosha, Meikar Adin, Ein Bishel Achar Bishel Vadavar Lach, but we're Machmir if it's Niftain and Lagamri. According to the understanding that the Ramah may be based on the Or Zeruah, the Ramah is saying, Yesh Bishel Achar Bishel Vadavar Lach, but the threshold for where Bishel Achar Bishel is going to be invoked is some lower point than Yasal Edispo. Mor Shabbos thinks it's the point of anything above Nisayin Lagamri. From the Or Zeruah, you get the impression that it's just a little bit below Yasal Edispo. And then, according to the Nishmas Adam, that Rabbi Karp favors, the Ramah is not telling you anything about Bishel. In terms of Bishel, Ein Bishel Achar Bishel Vadavar Lach, like the Rashba. And the Ramah is telling you that even though Ein Bishel Achar Bishel Vadavar Lach, there's still a Hachzara problem that is Mexican Mavashel, if it is going to be Nistanein Lagam. Okay. So what is considered Nistanein Lagamri? If you take the Ramah literally, not like Rabbi Willig suggested based on the Or Zeruah, that Nistanein Lagamri is lav dafka, it just means a little bit below Yasal Edispo. But if you take the Ramah literally, then Nistanein Lagamri means Nistanein Lagamri, which is how most poskim understand the Ramah. So what is the definition of Nistanein Lagamri? Mor HaShabbos points out that neither the Mishnah Berurah nor the Chazon Ish explicitly address this. They don't give you a shear of Nistanein Lagamri. Excuse me, the Igle Tal says that lo Nistanein Lagamri means that it's still edible machmas chamimuso. I think this is Os Ches, I don't have it in front of me, that if it's a dayin, if it's right, lachal machmas chani musa, meaning to say that if it's something that's normally eaten hot, so it's not cold enough that it's not practically edible. But something that usually eat hot, if it hasn't cooled off to the point that it's not considered edible, then that would be nistane and lagamri. So it doesn't mean, it doesn't necessarily mean room temperature. Even above room temperature might still be considered an Nistanein Lagamri for purposes of this halacha, as long as it's not edible for something that would be eaten hot. And the Shulchan Aruch Harav has a definition along those lines as well. Okay. Now, what is the definition of Lach versus Yavesh for purposes of...
Sorry, yeah. Question. Sure. I mean, so like, what would it be though for something that is not hot, like necessarily designed to be in hot? Like if you have soup that like pureed soup could be in cold. So it's edible. Like, I mean, it's not like strictly the heat is not a critical component. Like, I don't even know, like what sort of things they're like, even talking about, like gravy or something that would literally congeal.
Talking about soup. And if soup normally is eaten hot. So what's the minimal temperature? You could eat soup even if it's below Yassel Edispo, but if the soup is room temperature, even a little bit above room temperature, you're not going to eat it, right? You're not going to eat cold chicken soup.
So it's defined by what Rov Bnei Adam would do, or by effectively...
Yeah, that's the impression you get from the poskim that you look at. I think the Morah Shabbos says this explicitly, that you look at Rove or what the norm would be for this kind of a food. Now you're asking, or if you're not asking, then maybe you want to ask. Let's say you have a Dover Lach where it's not meant to be eaten hot at all. It's normally eaten cold. So we'll see in a few moments that kind of Dover Lach may actually have a different definition anyway, and that relates to the point we're about to make. Okay, and that is Ramoshen, Chuvas to Rabbi Eider, Chuva Yud Ches in the back of Rabbi Eider Sefer, writes that he doesn't think Lach and Yavesh for purposes of Bishal B'Shabbos are the same definitions as Lach and Yavesh B'Cholot Arakula. I mean, it's not the same definition as Mashka versus Ochel for purposes of Tumah. But he says for purposes of Bishal, you look at the type of foodstuff in terms of whether it needs a kli to hold it. So if you have something that doesn't have its own identity, that is fluid enough that you need a kli to hold it, and that would be considered a Dover Lach, as opposed to something that could stand on its own without a kli. So his example is ketchup. So ketchup doesn't flow like water. It's not a liquid, but the consistency of ketchup is such that it takes the form of the kli that holds it. It's not a Dover Machal that exists independently that has its own form outside of a kli. Sir Moshe thinks that based on his definition, ketchup would be considered a Dover Lach. If that's the case, Rabbi Eider asked Sir Moshe, what about putting ketchup on a hot piece of meat? So this touches on something we haven't gotten into yet, which you'll file away for a little bit later, which is the machlokas about the Dover Gush and the famous sheet of the Marshal, that if you have a Dover Gush, that's Yassel Edispo, a piece of meat, a solid food, even if it's a klisheni, but it's Yassel Edispo, that might have a din of a kli rishon and could be mevashel. So if you assume, like the Marshal, that we treat a Dover Gush as a kli rishon, and Rabbi Eider asked Moshe, can you put ketchup on a Yassel Edispo piece of meat, even if it's in a klisheni? If you assume that ketchup, as Ramosha does, is a Dover Lach, so even if the ketchup had been previously cooked, but we're worried about Bishal Achar Bishal. So Ramosha to that says he doesn't think you have to be Machmir, because in order to be Machmir, you're putting together two separate Chumras. Chumra number one is Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, the Dover Lach, because you'll recall that Ramosha earlier held, like the Minchas Kohen, that according to the Ramban, the Ikar did Ein Bishal Achar Bishal B'Dover Lach, and the Nisan Lagami is simply a Chumra. So Moshe says, number one, to create this Chumra, not putting ketchup on a piece of meat, the piece of meat is Yassel Edispo. So number one, you have to assume that Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal B'Dover Lach, so that's Chumra number one. Number two, you have to assume, like the Marshal, that a Dover Gush has a din of a Kli Rishon, that's Chumra number two. And Moshe says, you don't have to put these two chumras together in order to ask for the ketchup on the piece of meat. But in terms of the definition of Dover Lach, Ramosha thinks that ketchup would be a Dover Lach. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Se'if Samach Dalad, when Paragala Shmir Shabbos Chachos is Se'if Samach Dalad, the Shmir Shabbos is also makel to put ketchup on a piece of meat, but for a different reason. He quotes from Shlomo Zalman there in footnote Reish, that even if you'll argue with Rav Moshe's calculus that you don't have to be machmer in both chumras, and Shlomo Zalman didn't think that was correct, but he says, this goes to Micah's point, that we only say bishul achar bishul, even if you'll be machmir that yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach, that's only relevant where there's a malyusa to eating something hot over cold. That if there's a mile of eating hot over cold, then we say yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. But if it doesn't make any difference whether you have it hot or cold, then that doesn't come into the cheshbon. I think what he means by that, and we'll see other evidence of this as we go on, is that even though we saw that the Rama in Sif Gimel, sorry, the Rama in Sif Dalet tells us that we're machmir, yesh bishul achar bishul, b'davar sheh mitzdamik v'ralo, right? The Rabbeinu Yonah that we discussed last time. Now the Rama says, you could be mekel that ain bishul achar bishul if it's mistamik v'ralo. And the Mishnah Berurah says, we're machmir against the Rama, even if it's mistamik v'ralo in a davar lach, still yesh bishul achar bishul, right? But I think what the Shmir Shabbos quoting from Shlomo Zalman is that, number one, if it's something where it doesn't make any difference in the world whether you eat it cold or hot, so then you could revert to being makel by mistamik v'ralo, maybe in combination with, or could be, you could say either one of these separately, with the calculation that melechus machshavas aser Torah, as we discussed last time, based on the Taz and the Chavis Yar and the Chavis Das and Yerideya, that melechus machshavas aser Torah. So if there's no over here, you have no interest in heating up the ketchup. That's not your focus at all. Right? When you're putting a ketchup on a piece of meat, you're not interested in heating up the ketchup. So maybe there's a calculation on melechus machshavas aser Torah as well in the context of bishul. So because of either or both of those considerations, number one, that a push comes to shove, you could be mekel that ein bishul achar bishul if something is mistamik v'ralo, and or melechus machshavas aser Torah. So it sounds like that's why Rav Shlomo Zalman is willing to be makel on putting the piece of ketchup on the meat, even if you were to assume, like the Marashal, and even if you were to assume that Mekor did yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. And then Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maybe Rav Moshe is not so pashut anyway, that maybe ketchup should be considered a davar yavish. Maybe the definition isn't just based on how it forms or doesn't form in a kli or on its own. But maybe if it doesn't present as a liquid, then that's not a davar lach, even if it's of a consistency somewhere between a liquid and a solid. The Mora Shabbos quotes from Rabbi Yashiv as well. The Rabbi Yashiv said you can be makel about this ketchup shayla, and the way he presented it is that you don't say azalei bishulo on ketchup. That the original, when you make ketchup, the bishul had an effect on the ketchup. And that effect still exists to some extent, even if it's Nifstein and Lagamri. So you don't say Azalei Bishulo, and then maybe we're more inclined to define ketchup as a tafshil as opposed to a davar lach. Meaning, last time we were explaining that the reason you'd be makel that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar Lach is that it's Azalei Bishulo, but it could be that in the other direction also, that we're only inclined to define something as a davar lach if azalei bishulo is relevant in that piece of food. If it's not relevant, so maybe if it's in a gray area or of a middle type of consistency, you wouldn't say bishul achar bishul, or you wouldn't treat that as a davar lach. But either way, for different reasons, sounds like the consensus of poskim is that you would be makel on putting ketchup on a piece of meat. And as far as the davar gush issue, we'll have to address that when we get to talk about Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Okay. Now, what about defining Dabar Lach, where you have a food object that has both Yavesh and Lach components? So the Prima Gadim in Mishpasot Zahav, Simen Resh Nun Gimel, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, Simen Resh Nun Gimel, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, quotes Beis Yosef quoting a Rabbeinu Yerucham in the following way. Mahu Dabar Lach. What's the definition of a Dabar Lach for our purposes? So he quotes the Beis Yosef in Resh Nun Gimel, B'shem Rabbeinu Yonah, which is B'shem Rabbeinu Yerucham, B'shem Rabbeinu Yonah, Kol Sherubo Rotev, Vitzonein, U'mitzamek V'yafalo, Hava Mevashel Gamar. So he quotes the Beis Yosef, he quotes the Rabbeinu Yerucham, as saying that if it's Rubo Rotev, and it's Sonein, U'mitzamek V'yafalo, that's Mevashel Gamar. Mashma, Kishemiyud Rotev, Einzem Mevashel. That line of Ruba Rotev sounds like you look at the percent. So if you have a dish and it's Rov Yavesh and Miyut Rotev, even though there is some liquid in the dish, that would have a din of Yavesh for Bishel Acher Bishel purposes. And why should that be? Because I have to explain that that may be related to the Taz we spoke about before. Lachas Machshavas Asur Torah. So your interest, if it's Rov Yavesh, is that you're viewing this as a Tafshil that's Yavesh. And the fact that there is some Lach component, some Rotev component, some gravy in it, that's incidental to the big picture. So Prima Gadim presents this as you look at the majority. If the majority of the Tashil is Yavesh, then you don't have to worry about the Miut that is Rotev. Minchas Kohen, Mishmeres HaShabbos, Perek Beis, paragraph beginning, Venerali, points out that that's not what the Rabbeinu Yerucham actually says. Basically, it quotes the Rabbeinu Yerucham with the Lashon of Rov, Ruba Rotev. But the Rabbeinu Yerucham that we have, the Rabbeinu Yerucham says, Kol She Yesh Bo Rotev, not Rubo Rotev. Kol She Yesh Bo Rotev, not Ruba Rotev. That's very different. If it has any Rotev, then that is the din of a Dabar Lach for Bishul Acher Bishul purposes. Nevertheless, the Michas Kohen thinks that's how the Beis Yosef understood the Rabbeinu Yerucham, even though that wasn't the gears of the Rabbeinu Yerucham, because Imlo Kein Asata Devarech L'Shirin, because otherwise, how do you draw the line? You could draw the line at any bit of Rotev, which is what the Rabbeinu Yerucham that we have sounds like, but the Michas Kohen thinks that that is correct, Lalacha, that was the intention of the Beis Yosef, and therefore, as long as Rov of the Tashil is Yavesh, it has the status of Yavesh for Bishul Acher Bishul purposes. Shulchan Aruch Harav, Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud Aleph, Tafshil Yavesh, She'ein Bo Rotev Klal, Ein Bo Bishul Acher Bishul. Now we only say Ein Bo Bishul Acher Bishul with Aruch Yavesh if it is totally Yavesh, and there's no Rotev at all. And Ramosha writes in Os Kaf in his Tshuvas to Rabbi Eider that the whole Svara to be Mechalek, as the Prima Gadim suggested, between Rov Lach and Miut Lach, is that's analogous to, as the Prima Gadim says, analogous to Mitztamek V'yafalo, Mitztamek V'ralo. Right? That just like will distinguish as far as Bishul Acher Bishul between Mistamek Yafilah and Mistamek Viralo. So too, will distinguish between Rov Yavesh and Rov Lach, that if it's Rov Yavesh, we discount the Lach component, we discount the Rotev component. But says Rav Moshe, we're machmir even if something is mistamik v'ralo, as we just discussed. So to the extent that in practice we're machmir if it's mistamik v'ralo, so then you'd have to be machmir even if it's miut rotev as well. And that's generally the consensus of poskim against the minchas kohen. And Mishmeres HaShabbos points out that this may depend on how you view the Ramah as we started. If Me'ikar Adin, Yesh Bishalach HaBishav Adavar Lach, so then you have to be more machmer on these things. And Shulchan Aruch HaRav is among those who understood in the Ramah that Me'ikar Adin, Yesh Bishalach HaBishav Adavar Lach. If you hold Me'ikar Adin, Ein Bishalach HaBishav Adavar Lach, maybe there's more room to be Me'ikal along the lines of the Minchas Kohen. Even though Rav Moshe, who held Me'ikar Adin, Ein Bishalach HaBishav Adavar Lach, is still machmer on miut rotev. But either way, whether that lines up or not, the achra of poskim is that you have to be machmir even in a miut of a davar lach, miut of rotev against the minchas kohen. So if you have a tafshil that has solid and liquid, even if the robe is solid, so even if you have a generally not watery chalent, but there's some water in the chalent, that would still have a din of a davar lach for purposes of bishal achar bishal. What the poskim do discuss is, let's say you have a little bit of moisture on top of a piece of kugel. They have a little bit of lachluchis, even if it's tofeach amenasa piach on the top of a piece of kugel. So then the poskim are makel on that. The Mishmeres HaShabbos quotes that from Rav Shlomo Zalman and from Rav Yashiv. Even though Shulchan Aruch HaRav may be machmer that as well, but it was just a little bit of oil on top of a piece of kugel, so that might still be defined as a davar yavesh, not as a davar lach. What about a piece of meat that is yavesh and it's cold, but if you heat it up, then some of the moisture, the gravy, something's going to liquefy. So right now it's totally yavesh. But if you heat it up, there's going to be some liquid that oozes out of this davar yavesh. So take a look at the Magen Avraham, Shin Yud Ches, Sif Katan Mem. So this is going on Sif Tes Zayin in the Mechaber. The Mechaber says that if you have a piece of kugel, you could put a keneged ha'esh v'mokum sheyatzel ledispo. Afal pi shashuman shabash shenikra shkozi b'nimuach. Even though you're going to put this piece of kugel opposite the fire where it's yatzel ledispo, some of the shuman in the kugel is going to melt, is going to liquefy. So says the Magen Avraham, Kasav Alavush, Shish Tosofrim, Bizarch Lomber, Bemokum, Sheena Yasal Edispo. The Mechaber says, you can do this where it's Yasal Edispo. Lavush says, no, only where it's Ain Yasal Edispo. The Bemokum, She Yasal Edispo, Aser, Misham Bishal. If it's Yasal Edispo, that's going to be a problem of Bishal. The Linera, the low dummy. The hacha came into a special kvar, bahu yavesh, eba mishem bishal. No. If it's already cooked, and it's yavish, even if some of the shuman is going to ooze out, there's no problem of bishul. Kach mashma b'Mordechai, d'lematir in shari afil b'makom sheyasal edespo. And he thinks that's mashma in Rashi on Kuf Mem Hei, in the mishnah that we began the sugya with, kol sharon b'chaim er Shabbos, that wherever it's mashma before Shabbos, sharon asa b'chaim b'Shabbos. And Rashi there wrote, sharon asa b'chaim b'Shabbos, sheheini muach, that it's going to soften, to liquefy. Mashma, sha'af pishini muach, achar kach yesh lo din dar yavish. Right? This is according to Rashi. Rashi himself holds that yesh bishal achar bishal with davar lach, so the Mishnah and Kufim Hei is only talking about a davar yavish. And yet Rashi there explains, we're talking about where you're going to be shorin b'chamin, so it's going to be nimuach. We're talking about liquefying a davar yavish that liquefies. And that's going to be butter. That's not a problem. Bishal achar bishal, v'adin shuman. So the Magen Avraham understands that if you have a davar yavesh that's a special called sarcho, and then you're going to reheat it on Shabbos, even if there's some shuman on that davar yavesh that's going to liquefy, that's not a problem of bishal achar bishal. We don't treat that as a davar lach just because there's going to be some liquid that oozes out of the davar yavesh when you heat it up. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sifkat and Kuf. In Fada, Hu Pashtida Niska Rakamim Kamos, Hu Pas Kfula Mamula Bachasicha Shuma, Venosa Shabkade Lachamos. So it's a kind of a Mizonos based pastry that you put pieces of meat in. Viatam Shamutter. They came and shu yavesh, afshin estain and lo shaykh be bishal od, moshe kasu sif tesvav, the af al pisha shuman chosim vinimuch, even though the shuman is going to liquefy, mikol mako mikri yavesh. Kevin shebisha shenos na lechamimo lo nimchadai. Now, the point that you heat it up, when you put it there opposite the flame, it's totally yavesh. So even if it's going to liquefy afterwards, that doesn't concern us. So says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting from the Magen Avraham. The Taz in Sifkata and Kaf is Machmir, but the Mishnah Berurah here doesn't quote the Taz. He just quotes the Magen Avraham that we're only concerned about what is the presentation when you put it opposite the flame, when you put it on the flame where that's butter, but not what's going to happen afterwards. Now, there's another Mishnah Berurah in Sifkata and Ayin Aleph. The Ramah says, this is in Siftes, we'll have to come back to this on its own merit down the road. But the Ramah says, Yesh osrim laseis melach afilu b'chli sheni kol zman sheyas ledespo. Not to put salt, even in a kli sheni, if it's yad to ledespo. Says the Mishnah Berurah Ayin Aleph. So this whole discussion here is about melach that's natural, but melach that you cook, there ain't bishul achar bishul lekuliyam. The chayim b'tzukar mutter b'hai time alino b'chli rishon la'achar shevi ru min ha'esh. So for the same reason, you're allowed to put sugar in a kli rishon because it's already cooked and ain't bishul achar bishul. And some are mefakpek about putting sugar in a kli rishon. He says, "Ayin." The Sharitzian says, "Sarivav, ayin b'shari tshuva chidush reviv eger." What is the shari tshuva? Let's take a look here at the Shari Tshuva to Seif Tes. Ma'ara mikli vishon latoch ka'aras katanas sheyesh bam sugar, ein kamishon bishol, kevin shat sukar kvar nispashol b'beis ha'uman, Ein b'shalach b'shul dar yavish. Afshat sukar ni muach yesh lo din yavish. So even though you're putting the sugar into water and it's going to liquefy, that still has a din of a dar yavish. Umutar litein sukar apikli rishon. However, the Zera MS is Megam game that you should be Machmir. And the Mishabur there quotes, better to be Machmir about Shuk. So the Or HaShabbos poses this as a question that the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Kuf says we assume like the Magen Avraham doesn't even quote a Cholek that if you have a Dabar Yavesh you're allowed to put it you're allowed to reheat it even if there's going to be Shuman that's Nimuach because at the time that you put the Dabar Yavesh Kenegat Eish it's 100% Yavesh and yet the Mishnah Berurah says that there's what to be Machmir about by sugar. That sounds like the same thing. The sugar also liquefies. Why is that different than the piece of kugel? So the Or HaShabbos thinks that maybe the reason the Mishnah Berurah is more machmir by sugar is because the sugar is going to liquefy immediately. You put a piece of kugel connected to H, it takes time. There's embedded shuman in the kugel, but it takes time for that to ooze out. If you're putting sugar in hot water, it's going to liquefy immediately. So there's more of a reason to be machmir.
Doesn't salt also melt right away?
Yes.
Isn't the Mishnah Berurah quitting the salt and the sugar?
Well, first the Mishnah Berurah says that if it's our kind of salt that's created through Bishul, so then Ein b'bishul achabishul l'kulei alma. Is his yesh mefakbekin going on salt also, or just going on sugar? Sounds like it's only going on sugar, no? Yeah, the Shari Shuvah is only talking about sugar. But maybe we'll when we get to Siftes, we'll talk more about this. But for now, what I wanted to point out here is that the Or HaShabbos is bothered by this as a stira in Mishnah Berurah, and he says you have to distinguish between something that's going to be nimuach immediately and something that's only going to be nimuach over time. Rabbi Carr points out that if you look in the Zera Emes inside, which I wasn't able to do yet, because the Shari Tzion didn't have the Tzion in the Zera Emes, I didn't have time to look for it yet. But he says, if you look in the Zera Emes inside, it's clear that the Chumrah by sugar has nothing to do with Bishul Achar Bishul. It has to do with Bishul Achar Afiyah. That his concern was that the sugar was baked, and therefore, if you're going to put it in hot water, there's a concern of bishul achar afiyah. And that's the basis of what the Mishnah Berurah calls to be machmir about sugar. That's eino inyan to the shayla of the kugel. That kugel is a question of straight bishul achar bishul. So we assume that the Magen Avraham, that if you have a davar yavish, even if there's going to be some liquid that oozes out of it, that's still considered a davar yavish for bishul achar bishul purposes. Mishnah Berurah says it should be machmir for sugar, Apparently, that's based on a consideration of a fee archivishal and not based on a bishal archivishal consideration. So Bli Nether, we'll come back to the sugar salt issue in when we talk about Kli Rishon Kli Sheni. But for our purposes, that's how Rabbi Karp says, there's no steer in Mishnah Berurah, and sugar has nothing to do with the shayla of the cook. Okay. The Shvisa Sashabis in his Psicha to Mevashel Oth Yotes raises the following concern. That if you're going to pour hot water into a utensil, and that utensil may have a few residual drops of water that are there previously. So if those drops of water were never cooked before, so you have a problem of a bishul, not bishul achar bishul, but bishul mamish, because you have drops of water on the bottom of this kli that you're pouring water into that were never cooked. Iwin mikli rishon, we'll assume for the moment, is like a kli rishon. And then you have a problem of bishul mamish. So he quotes that he heard of one gadol that was careful never to pour hot water into a cup unless he dried out all the drops from that cup. But he says, lo ra'inu lezulaso l'rabbanon kashishai davdi hachi. Aside from this, he quotes Rav Aryeh Leiv Mistavisk, I don't know who that was, it was Machmir. But aside from him, he never saw anyone raise this concern. So, but after him, people did raise this concern. Rabbi Eider quotes in page 295, footnote Tuf Kuf Gimel, that Rabbi Aaron Kotler was Machmir about this. And Rav Moshe writes, Chelik Aleph, Simon Sadi Gimel, Arachayim Chadi Aleph, Sadi, sorry, Chelik Aleph, Simon Sadi Gimel. That since we assume Iroy is Mevashel, at least a Kedei Klipa, as we'll talk about, so you're not allowed to pour water from a Kli Rishon into a Kli that had already been rinsed out in cold water that was never cooked before. That's right, the water was never cooked before. You have cold water, there are a few residual drops. That's a problem of Bishel Achar Bishel. It's only a few drops, but Chatzi Shir and Melech HaShabbos is also Aser. So that's a problem to pour hot water over that cold water. And Rabbi Karp quotes the Chazon Ish with Machmir about this as well. Rabbi Karp says that as a Libud Zchus, you could argue that you could be Mitzayer for a number of shitos. Number one, the shitos that Ira Mikli Rishon is not Mevashel. Number two, that's a psikration de lo nichalei. And even more than that, it's a chisaron in lachas masheves. You have no intent, no interest in cooking these few residual drops of water that happen to be on the bottom of the kli, of the cup, that you're pouring hot water into. So there, it seems like the consensus is it's appropriate to be machmir, but there's what to be makel about, at least as a limuzkos. The bigger question is, what about drops that already were heated up, right? So you took a cup of tea, and now you want to pour another cup of tea in the same cup. So you want to pour water from the urn into your cup that you already drank tea in before, and there may be a couple residual drops of tea in the bottom of this cup. Or you have a ladle that you dished out the soup with, and now you want to put the ladle back in the soup, but there are a couple of residual drops of soup that had cooled off that are still on the ladle. You have the water was already cooked, it was already hot, cooled off, and now you're putting it in again. Or you have a lid on a pot. There are a few residual drops on the lid that cooled off, and you're putting the lid back on the pot. So Rav Moshe, the same tshuva, Chelek Aleph, Simin Sadi Gimel, writes that as far as that shaila goes, where the drafts already were heated up, so he says maybe there's what to be makel about that. Number one, according to many shitos, Ein Bishalach or Bishal Vadavar Lach, even though he assumed Mikra did Yesh Bishalach or Bishal Vadavar Lach, and it's Obsegresha de Lo Nichale. So he thinks there's what to be meikel about. And that's what he writes in his tshuva to Rabbi Eider Os Kaf Ches, that there's no Isser Barer. Because Me'ikar Adin, Rav Moshe held, as we noted, that Ein Bishalach or Bishal Vadavar Lach, and the subsequation of the Lenichalei. So Rav Moshe says it's not an Isser Bar. Now, if you hold Me'ikar Adin Yesh Bishalach or Bishal Vadavar Lach, so maybe there's more reason to be concerned. But there, Rav Avadya has what to be makel about, even though for Sfardim they definitely hold Yesh Bishalach or Bishal Vadavar Lach like the Mechaber. Rav Avadya writes, Yichav Adas, Chelek Vav, Simen Kaf Aleph, Chelek Vav, Simen Kaf Aleph. He was asked about the indicator in an urn. As in many urns, there's the indicator that shows you how much water is left in the urn, and there's a little bit of water in that indicator that goes down as the urn gets depleted. So the concern is that water in the indicator, let's call it a valve, not a valve. It's like, you know what I'm talking about? The little, I don't know what the word is for that.
Tube.
So the way it works is that as the urn gets depleted, some water leaves that tube and gets mixed up with the rest of the water in the urn. Now the water in that tube may be below Yatzalad Dispo, and then when you push water out of the urn, some of that water in the tube gets mixed up with the rest of the urn and will get heated up above Yatzalad Dispo. A number of years, I think Rabbi Flug told me that he had done some research on this with urn models, and that some of the better urn models, the temperature in that tube was equivalent to the temperature in the rest of the urn, and some of the inferior models, the temperature in the tube went down to about 105 degrees, which, as we'll talk about probably next time, is probably below Yasaled Espo, according to just about everyone. So Rav Avadya was asked this question, do you have to be concerned about the water in this tube that's going to get mixed together with the rest of the water in the urn when you deplete the urn, when you take water out of the urn? So Rav Avadya thinks that, well, number one, it's a davar she'ein miskaven, and it's a psikreishu de l'nichalei. So even though in general we're machmen of segregation of the lenichale, that here you have a svek veka. Number one, maybe we assume that ein bishalach bishal v'davar lach. Number two, maybe we assume that segregation of the lenichale is mutter, like the aruch. And even though the mechaber paskins against both of those, he thinks that you can say a svek veka even against maran. So here both sides of the Svek Veika assume against the Mechaber, but Avadya thinks that you could say a Svek Veika against Maran. And then he adds to the mix that maybe your act of taking the water out of the urn that causes the water from the tube to go into the body of the urn, maybe that's considered a grumma and not a maisa, and therefore it wouldn't be problematic. So for those reasons, Rav Avadya thinks that even for a Sfardi that assumes Yesh Bishalach or Bishal V'davar Lach Me'ikar Adin, you don't have to worry about using such an urn. So there, you may not have a choice. Meaning, if you want to use the urn, unless you do your research and get a model, either without this kind of a tube or where the word on the tube is demonstrated to be more than Yatzel Edespo by default. So if you're going to use such an urn, you don't have a choice. But with the Shiloh of the drops in the bottom of your teacup, there you do have a choice. There's an easy fix of drying it out before pouring in the new cup. Shlomo Zalman in a tshuva in the back of Mora Shabbos Chelik Beis, this is the letter number Kuf Dalet Oth Yud. He thinks you have to be machmer in the parallel Shiloh of the drops, the residual drops on the bottom of a pot cover. At least lechachila. At the most recent Aguda convention over Thanksgiving, I was listening in the car to one of the presentations. Rabbi Yerachmiel Fried from Dallas spoke about Shlomo Zalman. So he was sharing reminiscences. So he was talking about how Shlomo Zalman had very nuanced ways of categorizing where shitas fit and what the proper position about any given issue was. So one of the examples he quoted was that Shlomo Zalman once remarked to him that generations ago, or when I was young, this was a major din in poskim. Do you have to be concerned about the drops on the bottom of a teacup? And it wasn't pashut in either direction. And now every Beis Yaakov girl is taught that it's aser. So he was saying that just as a way of, I think, bemoaning the loss of nuance. But in practice, it sounds like Shlomo Zalman is quoted as well, as at least Lechachila saying that you should be machmer. So Rabbi Karp says that, again, here too, there's what to be makel about. It's mistamik v'ralo. And even if we're machmer in general, the Mishnah tells us to be machmer and mistamik v'ralo b'davar yavesh. But over here, since anyway there are other stadim lakula on these drops, you keep in mitzarev the fact that it's mistamik v'ralo in water, definitionally maybe mistamik v'ralo. Okay. The bottom line, this is kind of a low stakes chumrah. It doesn't take too much to dry off the ladle or dry off the cup before pouring more water into it. The urn, you have maybe no way out of, because what do you make about there? For the cup, it sounds like there's it's a relatively low stakes effort to be made to just dry up those drops, and there's ample reason to do so. Okay, so let's stop here for today. Next time, Ritz Hashem, we will kind of wrap up the Bishal Achar Bishal Sukkos, talk about maybe the Shir of Yassel Edespo. We'll talk about Bishal Achar Fia, Bishal Achar Tzli. And then after that, we'll move on as we more or less go El Seder the Simen to the next major topic, which is Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Iroi. And I'll try to send you Mar Makamos on that. Has everyone gone through the Mar Makamos that we sent already? More or less? Okay, so I'll try to have more for tomorrow on Kli Rishon so you can get a head start on that. Kli Neder. This week, I can't give Shir Wednesday at 3. I could either do Wednesday at, let's say, 5:15, which Micah probably won't like, or I could do Thursday at 3. Are you okay? You don't have Revel? So do you prefer Wednesday 5:15 or Thursday at 3? I could do either one.
It's all the same for me.
Same.
It's the same? Okay, so I guess I'll let you know when we get closer. If anyone ends up having a stronger preference, let me know, because at least at the moment, I could do either one. Are we doing a chalitza on Thursday? So they have to do the kfiyas makom before shkia on Wednesday, which is why I can't give you the regular time.
I'm assuming we're not invited to watch.
So we may need to be mashlim and minyan. Who's interested?
Okay. Yeah, where is it?